Violet and Klaus read the note as they ate their breakfast, which was a grey and lumpy oatmeal Count Olaf left for them each morning in a large pot on the stove. Then they looked at each other in dismay.
"None of us knows how to cook," Klaus said.
"That's true," Violet said. "I knew how to repair those windows and how to clean the chimney, because those sorts of things interest me. But I don't know how to cook anything except toast."
"And sometimes you burn the toast," Klaus said.
And they smiled. They were both remembering a time when the two of them got up early to make a special breakfast for their parents. Violet had burned the toast, and their parents, smelling smoke, had run downstairs to see what the matter was. When they saw Violet and Klaus looking forlornly at pieces of pitch-black toast, they laughed and laughed, and then made pancakes for the whole family.
"I wish they were here," Violet said.
She did not have to explain she was talking about their parents.
"They would never let us stay in this dreadful place."
"If they were here," Klaus said, his voice rising as he got more and more upset, "we would not be with Count Olaf in the first place.
I hate it here, Violet. I hate this house. I hate our room. I hate having to do all these chores. And I hate Count Olaf."
"I hate it too," Violet said.
And Klaus looked at his older sister with relief. Sometimes just saying that you hate something and having someone agree with you can make you feel better about a terrible situation.
"I hate everything about our lives right now, Klaus," she said, "but we have to keep our chin up."
This was an expression the children's father had used, and it meant, "try to stay cheerful."
"You're right," Klaus said, "but it is very difficult to keep one's chin up when Count Olaf keeps shoving it down."
"Joke!"
Sunny shrieked, banging on the table with her oatmeal spoon. Violet and Klaus were jerked out of their conversation and looked once again at Count Olaf's note.
"Perhaps we could find a cookbook and read about how to cook," Klaus said. "It shouldn't be that difficult to make a simple meal."
Violet and Klaus spent several minutes opening and shutting Count Olaf's kitchen cupboards, but there weren't any cookbooks to be found.
"I can't say I'm surprised," Violet said. "We haven't found any books in this house at all."
"I know," Klaus said miserably. "I miss reading very much. We must go out and look for a library sometime soon."
"But not today," Violet said. "Today we have to cook for 10 people."
At that moment there was a knock on the front door. Violet and Klaus looked at one another nervously.
"Who in the world would want to visit Count Olaf?" Violet wondered out loud.
"Maybe somebody wants to visit us," Klaus said without much hope.
In the time since the Baudelaire parents' death, most of the Baudelaire orphans' friends had fallen by the wayside, an expression which here means they stopped calling, writing, and stopping by to see any of the Baudelaires, making them very lonely. You and I, of course, would never do this to any of our grieving acquaintances, but it is a sad truth in life that when someone has lost a loved one, friends sometimes avoid the person, just when the presence of friends is most needed. Violet, Klaus, and Sunny walked slowly to the front door and peered through the peephole, which was in the shape of an eye. They were delighted to see Justice Strauss peering back at them and opened the door.
"Justice Strauss!" Violet cried. "How lovely to see you!"
She was about to add, "Do come in!" But then she realized that Justice Strauss would probably not want to venture into the dim and dirty room.